All right, so I need to know, besides us, who's the best duo of all time?
Oh,
So
shit,
many
dude.
come to mind. I know. There's so many come to mind. Batman and Robin, fucking Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peanut butter and chocolate is better than peanut butter and jelly, right?
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenally.
Like,
Way better.
by far.
You know, I was gonna say C-3PO and R2-D2 because the shit talk was like the best, even though you couldn't really hear what R2-D2 was saying. But now that we brought it up, chocolate and peanut butter—that's pretty impressive. I can't really think of anything
Social
best.
Nuisance podcast.
Oh shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mine.
Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things offensive and equally happy. I'm just kidding. Your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives
Hadouken!
Towards the betterment of humanity. That's
that was a new one.
Hadouken's by the hands, though. That's
yeah,
not a
what's
kick.
the one with the no sex, Baruchin? That one.
No, it's when they do the spinning kick and it's like,
yeah.
How many
yeah,
like
that one. I think it's
no
sex, Baruchin! Something like that.
Yeah,
but I don't remember
like
what the uppercut, the flying uppercut was. That wasn't, I don't know. I'll Google it later.
No, that's Ayukin. Ayukin!
Oh, okay, that one?
Yeah.
And then
Yeah, that
Hadouken
one's
is the ball. And then
yeah,
no sex,
Hadouken's the
Baruchin!
ball.
That's the kicking one.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, finish the thing. Do the
Okay.
monologue!
Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man that was given the choice between the red or blue pill and ate both. Potions.
Yeah, dude. I don't
How
know,
you
man.
doing?
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. I'm trying to drink less
Oh.
alcohol when we do these things, and then
Nice.
more like a Monster. I just want the energy up, you know. One of my favorite podcasts, the podcaster is always like on 110%. It translates. So I'm gonna try. I'm trying a new thing, dude. And about the pills, dude. Yeah, I would take them both. I would ask for multiple in case I would take them without water, and even if they're like horse pill size. Because I'm phenomenal at doing stuff like that, dude. You know, mostly drugs or whatever.
What would happen if Neo was like given the offer of the pills, but
Uh-huh.
then they were like, "Oh, you don't swallow these. You got to actually take off your pants and bend over."
Well, he had already the thing through his belly button, so
Close enough, I guess, right?
right, he's already used to things being up his orifices.
Orifices.
Or what about if it was chewable and it tasted like shit? He's like, you know what? Put me back in, bro.
I was told they'd be like Flintstone vitamins, and this was a lie.
Yeah, dude. There's a old saying about like addicts, dude, that if they made a pill to cure addiction, an addict would go like, "What happens if I take two?"
Double negative. That's funny.
Yeah, all right.
Right
Can I
on.
get three of these things?
Congratulations, everybody. We have made it to July. We're officially halfway through the
The
2020, man.
apocalypse.
So far, we're doing okay.
Yep.
Coronavirus resurged, so that's fun, right?
But I mean, okay, dude, do you not? Okay, two things. So one,
It's like 2020. Play the hits.
yeah, right? I feel like we're gonna dive back in. We're gonna talk a bit about coronavirus, whether we want to or not. So
Pretty
two
much.
things, because this is kind of a great segue. I want to introduce a new segment on our show, and
Yeah.
I know that you don't like me doing this kind of stuff like on the show, but I just feel like I get better results if I do it in front of the audience.
Fuck
So
it.
yeah,
Do it.
it's better ask for forgiveness
Forgiveness.
than permission. Yeah.
I forgive you. Continue.
So thank you, brother. In the spirit of we're already about to talk about how fucking monstrous this year's been,
Yep.
I would like to introduce a small subject segment that we could go real briefly, but at the beginning of the podcast to get the energy and the positivity up, something to celebrate, bro. Where we
Oh,
just
that's a good
fucking
idea.
something in your life to celebrate, or not just your life, the environment that we live in, our society, something in my life whether it's something as simple as a birthday, you know, a holiday, like we haven't got to do talked about Father's Day in the past 2 weeks. You know, just something fucking good. Please tell me you got something good, bro.
Something good. Have you been watching John Krasinski's Something Good News?
No, what's or that? Somebody with the last name Krasinski? That's the beginning of the end. They don't have good news.
I forget what his fucking name was. The guy from The Office, the cool guy.
I never got into The Office.
Neither I didn't really get in. There's a bunch of people yelling at us right now, like, oh, fuck, it's this guy. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Well, it's probably not our fans.
Anyways, I know his real name. It's the guy from The Quiet Place, the dad who dies.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that guy. He does this thing where it's like a YouTube channel. I have not watched a single episode, but I know of it.
Okay.
All he does is talk about good news.
Dope. Yeah.
His whole thing is good news.
I don't want it to be all that because it'd be a short fucking show. But, you know, just a quick.
True.
Just a quick kick in the shin of positivity.
Okay, kick me in the shin with some good news. What do you got?
I got two quick things. One, I want to say happy birthday to my beautiful wife.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday.
Yep, her birthday
from
just passed.
Pound Town.
Yep, all the way from Pound Town. And that's what we did. You know what I mean? Yep. Second thing is, I think I've got full custody of my son.
No way.
Rad, right?
That's awesome, man. I know that's been like an ongoing thing for you for some time now.
Well, and it's not really about the custody, just the we might get to live together again for like first time in 8-9 years, you know? So stoked about
that. That's a kick in doubles. That's my both of my shins of good news.
Yeah, dude. Limp on that, bro. What about you? So I took you for a loop. You weren't ready for this.
I wasn't ready. I'm going to take my bad news and turn it into good news to exemplify
yeah,
that you
dude.
Can always do that. Okay. I was laid off from my day job.
All right.
That's the bad news. The good news is I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was constrained from my day job and I really appreciated my time there and whatnot. But now that I have this newfound flexibility and time and whatnot, I can pursue a career and doing whatever it is I want
to
do. I can pursue this business. Yeah, man. I started Stars and Street Lamps in February, right before the fucking coronavirus. Great timing.
Exactly.
And under the Stars and Street Lamps banner is our show, my travel vlog, my music, my other podcast, The Dig. And now I just launched another podcast called Tell Me a Secret. And all these projects are now under my Stars and Street Lamps banner. So I'm going to focus, you know, on that and grow that. And hopefully I can be my own day job and be my own boss because, you know, I'm pretty boss already. That'd be dope.
Yeah, so have you ever read or listened to any of Kevin Hart's books?
No, I don't read children's books.
Well, they're not. But the most recent one actually he talks a lot about, I don't know if you've ever seen Hart Productions, but it's like publishing, music, comedy. But it's kind of like what you're trying to do. And it might be a good thing to kind of like, you know, take a look into because he's figured out kind of how to do multiple businesses at once. Yeah, set them up. And he actually is working on programs right now to help people do it. Not just like, you know, kind of like I don't know. Like there's a law groups for people that can't afford legal assistance, something like that, but in a business stature.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll definitely look into that, but that's kind of like what I'm trying to pursue. So it's definitely like, you know, upfront bad news. Hey, you're laid off from your job. But the good news is like you look at the bright side of it and try to take in the positivity that comes with it. And that's my good news. My good news is I'm dedicating right now, this very moment, my day today was spent on my own business. I worked hard today. And I feel really accomplished. I feel very fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's my good news. I feel great.
Yeah, dude. And whenever you work for someone, they're only going to let you make so much money. Now, I know you work for a giant corporation. I've never done that. But yeah. I'm always in sight of the person who is at some point never going to let me make as much money as them.
That's
and
true.
And I feel like that was probably similar there. But when you're working and investing in yourself, you know, it really is limitless, but there are changes that happen in your life, you know? And for the most part, though, if you bust your ass, you put your nose down, you work hard, the rewards come quicker and more significant. They're more sentimental. They're just a little bit more legitimate.
Yeah. Just like Generation Z. When they put their fucking, like, nose to the grinder, they get shit done. Just like disrupting Trump's rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, dude.
This shit was hilarious. So so Trump had a rally. It was his first rally in like forever. And he was like egging it up and was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be the dopest thing. It's going to be great. There's going to be so many people. There's so many ticket requests. And they were boasting that it was over a million requests for tickets. Little did they know, I'd say about 999,999 of those ticket requests were from Gen Z. So apparently there was a teacher, I think in like the Midwest, Iowa, Idaho, one of those two, who suggested that they go on and start requesting reservations for the rally with no intention of showing up. And it went viral. So on TikTok, there was about maybe 700,000 shares of this video and suggestion, and it took off like wildfire, and it fucking worked. So they took – I forget what it was, like the banking center in Tulsa.
Yeah, one of the arenas.
Yeah, one of the arenas. It's supposed to hold over like 19,000 people or something like that, and only 6,200 showed up.
And, you know, they were sending out a press release that he would reiterate his speech for the masses outside that couldn't afford to get in. So he was planning on double timing that day.
Yeah. And I thought it was so fascinating that, you know, you have, you know, these kids in essence, I mean, to me, they're kids that used social media in the way it's supposed to be used. You communicate, you organize, and you execute.
Spread ideas.
I don't think that the disruption to the rally was completely due to the TikTokers. But they definitely had an impact, definitely, right? You would think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But check this out also, Baby Gorgeous. It took the wind out his sails because he had the anticipation of all these reservations.
Yeah.
You know? And then when he got there, there was no one there, Sergeant Starburst.
So it was pretty funny to see, you know, as a Trump hater myself. But the more fascinating piece to it was the usage of social media in a way that had such an impact, real life impact, especially in the course of politics. Because you know it's like, you know, get a next dance craze or get a hit song, go viral, or a real product placement. That's kind of what social media is for. But I haven't really seen it in a way where they utilize it like Black Lives Matter or the way that TikTok was used to disrupt the Trump rally. I thought it was really fascinating.
Well, I thought it was a genius that essentially, he used social media to win the presidency just a couple years back.
Oh, and now, yeah.
I almost feel like they showed the cards a little soon. It was neat, you know, it was cool, but I almost felt like, dude, this was a magic trick y'all had for like during the, you know, when it comes down to like the, what is it called when they argue?
Oh, the debates?
Yeah, like the debates. And like when it gets close to kind of do it this early, it's like, oh, fuck, that was a great move. But maybe we should have held on to that one. That was a, you know,
I'm gonna have to disagree, and only because this was like Trump's return. He hasn't done a rally in like 3 months, and he was itching to get back out there, and he's addicted to his rallies, and this was like his big comeback, and it just fell flat on its face. I thought it was perfect timing.
Okay, I kind of wanted to say too, when we're talking about coronavirus, and it ties into this as well, is that I feel a sense of not responsibility, but hypocrisy in when we were talking about the marches, and I don't think we talked about it on our podcast. I think we talked about it mostly on the other podcast that we did, the guest spot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But that like, now that the numbers are coming up and the spike in coronaviruses, it appears that a lot of them were people, you know, target. What's it called? Audience, not target audience. What's the word?
Demographic.
Demographics, yeah, of people who were probably at those places, and it's like we all knew it was dangerous. It hadn't been dangerous, but it looks like we might have tripped on our dick there in that moment. So do you have any thoughts on that? Or,
oh, I mean, I anyone who's going anywhere right now is all bad.
Yeah.
Ever since the early stages of March, and we were talking about locking down, I was saying 2 weeks, everyone just stay where the fuck you are. Everyone freeze, nobody move. And we do that for 2 weeks. And let's find out where everything is on the board. That's what I wanted to do. So any infraction of that, I'm against. So as much as I wanted to go out and protest myself, I didn't do it because coronavirus. Going out and congregating with friends, family, events, what have you. I want to go do that, but I don't because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So to see like the protests, like, yeah, the protests were meaningful, impactful, necessary, absolutely. but you know, a double-edged sword because coronavirus. So,
I feel like, I've been going out of town and moving around and still working. But I'm very, very aware and cautious and, you know, stay away from people, stay masked up, don't touch nothing, constantly sanitizing, washing. Yeah. And the mask I use, I actually use, like a flag, like a rag to cover because of my beard. I don't wear just a face mask because I don't want something like in my beard. Yeah, like a bank robber, like a good old train robber, like the Western train robber. You know what I mean? I gotta get some killer boots, bro. I wear that
in my boot.
Yeah, and then I always wear my sunglasses, and then I wear a hat on top of it, just because you know we're not allowed. We can't get our hair cut, and I get nervous the sun is gonna land somewhere else, and be affected. So I don't wear just the face mask because I want to be fully protected. And I kind of like that. I kind of like the look now. But nice. What was I talking about?
I don't know.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew, bro.
Speaking of the masks, like everyone's making it a big deal. Like, you know, you're wearing your bandana. I wear the actual mask whenever I go outside or whenever I go outside, whenever I go somewhere where there's going to be other people that I don't know.
Yeah.
I get masked up.
Yep.
And there's such a pushback on wearing masks. I don't understand what the big deal is. And I just wish I was able to speak to someone who was anti-mask. And I've seen like a lot of videos going around. You have like the extreme. Have you seen the video where they had that city council meeting in Florida and they just went all crazy? Like,
is that the one where the lady said she doesn't wear panties?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I did see that, dude. I'm not anti-mask, but I'll play devil's advocate. And actually I do have a perspective and some and thoughts that I've been working on for a while about this, about political blending. Whereas like, so a lot of the people who don't want to wear masks, and I don't understand why it's a political line. I'm addressing it as I see it, not as I want it to be or making any kind of influence or push to it.
Right.
But it's mostly conservatives, right? Like constitutionalists, people who talk about other people who usually don't follow the law. Like people who have a problem with immigrants that may not follow immigration policy exactly. Or people who, for instance, so people who trip on fireworks, don't do fireworks till 4th of July. Those are the rules. Like, stop turning off the fireworks. Stop popping fireworks, right? But then they don't want to wear a I don't understand. Do you want to follow the law or not? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's a good analogy.
You can't fuck with people because they don't follow the law by the book and then not wear your fucking mask. Right now, that's the law by the book. You have to have a mask to go outside. I don't care if it was a Democrat or Republican governor. I don't care if you agree or don't agree. If you're going to sit there and fucking be hard about the book, be hard about the book.
That's true. And when people are proclaiming law and order and the law is put a fucking mask on and then it's all like, no, I don't want to do that. Or it's like, hey, we're doing a lockdown. No, I don't want to do that. It's like, okay, well, you can't pick and choose what laws you want to follow. And then on top of that, for me, it's like you can't also throw God into the mix as to your justification towards why you're not following a particular law. He's like, oh, well, you got to follow the laws. Okay. But then the law is applicable to you. Well, I'm following God's law and God's law trumps your law. So,
and so are Muslims. And quite frankly, they follow it better than Christians. Fuck, man, I'm thinking too fast.
I know, you have like a ton of thoughts on the situation. And I do too. And I just don't understand why people just don't want to wear the fucking mask.
Okay, so it's funny. Remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about completing the thought. Think the thought through. Okay? And I was just saying how I forgot my thought. But I'm an artist. I'm allowed to be a hypocrite. So the thought through is most of these people have a problem with Gavin Newsom telling them to wear the mask.
Yeah.
I don't like Gavin Newsom. I don't like the shit he's done. He's pretty much buried my business. And that was before coronavirus.
True.
I get your frustration with him. Do you know a candidate, if we impeached him, that would happily tell people to go out in public without a mask? If you don't have that part lined up, then shut the fuck up about this part. You can't complete the thought. You want a governor that will tell you you don't have to wear a mask? Okay, if we start an impeachment process, who's your guy? There is no person with a political career in mind on either side, except for the one that's already at the top somehow, that is going to promote people going out without masks. It's nationwide now. Like, governor of Texas, the freest motherfucker on the planet. please wear a mask. The mask thing isn't, it's not a discussion anymore.
Yeah, I get a lot of people who ultimately just come back to it's a freedom of choice. And you know, you're right. You're totally right. There are you can choose to live your life the way you want. I've always been an advocate of that. You know, if you're not hurting anybody, do whatever you want. But that's the exact, you know, stipulation that I just said. If you're not hurting anybody, but when the risk of public health comes into the conversation, then it's no longer a conversation. Well, it's public health, and then that now becomes a mandate. Put on your fucking mask.
Exactly, the mandate part. It was a choice, but it's not now. That's the law. The law. The land's law. The law of the land.
Law of the land.
So you got to fucking do it, or impeach him and put up someone who you think will say, you know,
yeah,
all lives don't matter. You can't say all lives matter and go out without a mask.
Yeah, you gotta be sensitive to how other people see the world. Unless your name is Stacey Talbert of the McIntosh County Sheriff's Department in Georgia. Have you heard of Stacey Talbert?
No, but everything you said after her name already sounds like this is going to be terrible.
Yeah, have you heard of Molly McMuffin?
No! Are you fucking with me? Lieutenant Lollipop?
Well, her new alias online is Molly McMuffin. She's the sheriff deputy who is being given shit for her crying over her experience at McDonald's. Have you seen that video going around?
Yeah.
So she filmed a selfie video where she was telling the world that she's upset over McDonald's apparently withholding her breakfast order because she was a cop. So her video went viral.
Oh, that's where McMuffin comes from.
Yeah, Molly McMuffin. That's her name.
Can they sue for that? Because she's stealing. That's got to be copyrighted, right?
Not if people gave it to her as a nickname. She didn't call herself Molly McMuffin. I don't think she wanted to call herself that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Sorry. Go on.
So anyways, so she said the point of the video was to illustrate people just being so mean during this time of day, you know, this day and age. I mean, this day and age, people are just being so mean, and she wanted to highlight that. But the video doesn't accurately capture that. And I think, you know, at one point she's crying about not being thanked in a while for her service. And that's what really bugged me in particular. She's not talking about, you know, people are being mean in general. And she doesn't mention the whole Black Lives Matter situation. You know, if people are treating you like shit because you're a cop, acknowledge why. And through the entire duration of the video, she didn't. Did you see the video?
Yeah, I did. I saw it through our post.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
All right. One is, did they stop paying her?
She's
still getting paid, right?
I'm pretty sure she's still getting paid for the job she signed up for.
That's your thank you, stupida.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to work for employers who love and appreciate you and exhibit that.
Yeah.
But your thank you for working is the paycheck at the end.
Yeah, it's not a volunteer situation. It's a you signed up, you applied, and you got the job. I mean, that's always been my situation or, you know, concern with people who want to be thanked for their service. Same thing with military, same thing with the police department, fire department, first responders, anybody who wants to be thanked for doing their job. It's like, no, you're doing your job. You volunteered to do this job.
And I'll catch shit for this, but I'm a huge believer that female officers – can only make a situation worse.
Oh, go on.
Okay.
Please.
So here's the thing.
Please explain.
I'm sure 90% of interactions are cool as fuck, okay?
Okay.
But the minute that there's an interaction that goes off the tracks with a female officer, a male officer has to overreact to get it back on tracks. So whereas an interaction between maybe two men, one, probably a bad guy. I'm not saying two regular guys. I'm saying something's wrong. Or how about this? Somebody with a mental disorder.
Okay.
Okay? If at any moment that goes off the track, a male officer is going to have to act twice as hard to not only subdue this, but protect that person. So whereas 90% of interactions may stay on that track, I think when there's an interaction with a female officer that goes a little haywire, the likeliness of someone getting hurt goes up at least double.
Yeah, you are going to catch a lot of shit for that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's logical.
I disagree.
Do you?
Well, I mean, a police officer is a police officer, regardless of gender, sex, role, whatever, what have you. Police officer is a police officer. If you signed up to do the job, these are the expectations of the job to perform the job adequately, sufficiently to, you know, to the expectation. Now, I understand where you're going with that, but the expectation is you're a police officer, execute accordingly.
Yeah, that's the expectation. But then you also get little bitches like this crying on fucking TikTok that she didn't get her Egg McMuffin on time.
Well, you've seen a lot of other, you know, if you can, you know, if you want to go the bitch route.
No, I meant a bitch as in just a wimp, not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The guys are bitches too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so if an interaction goes a little haywire where she's involved, now a male officer is going to have to act twice. Or how about this? Maybe another more dominant female officer. It just becomes two tasks now is what I'm saying. And in those two tasks, the best way to take them out, two birds with one stone, is to go hard. It's not like, oh, okay, let me more defuse this, and talking will protect this weaker officer and talk down that person with a mental disorder. It becomes a thing like, fuck, I really got to stop this person now. And we know just our police state right now, they're not for defusing.
I think that's more in line with an incompetent police officer, regardless of gender.
That's true. I agree with that.
But yeah, if you have a shitty cop or a bitch cop who just can't do the job, then the cop who can then has to defuse the situation
from the bitch cop. Thank you. Great way to phrase it.
Yeah. But I wanted to get the some listeners in on the conversation too. So we have Vanessa on Facebook. She said, I can't put it into better words right now, but if you sign up for any job to get told thank you, that just seems weird and says something about themselves personally. Your paycheck is your thank you, especially when I hear their pay is more than decent. I don't know. I just don't like the comment. So she's totally in line with both of us on that one. So I got a
loophole in Vanessa's argument.
Oh, what's a loophole?
Mall Santa Clauses.
That's true. Nancy on Facebook, she said, I don't think it's fair that because she's white, we assume it's a Karen situation or a Molly McMuffin situation. I think as a cop, she feels she's being attacked. Yes, I get it. It's drive-through food. Like, what a joke. But at the end of the day, being a cop is a dangerous job, especially with everything going on. So it kind of makes sense. I mean, you don't want to jump the gun and automatically say she's a Karen.
I mean,
you pointed out before that being a cop is tough.
I'm not a fan of people feeling attacked if they're not actually, check this out, bro, actually being attacked.
Good point.
So you not getting your breakfast sandwich in time is not you being attacked. So, and also if that is a simple enough act for you to feel attacked, you're not allowed to carry a pistol. How about that?
Let's take your gun away immediately.
Take your gun, your taser, and give you a bag of cookies.
Jason on Facebook, I don't think anyone should have to fear that their food would be poisoned, and there are instances of officers' food being poisoned. So I understand her anxiety. I guess.
I mean, there's instances of everything, right? Like,
I mean, that's a common risk just going to McDonald's in any case, right?
Yeah.
Like, and your food's not going to be on time. Your food might be fucked with. And it's McDonald's.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah. I don't know. If you're the type of person that has to watch your food be made, then make your lunch. You know what I mean? Like,
bring your bag lunch.
Fucking make your own fucking food. I don't know. Go to a grocery store and buy one of those already made chickens. Something. Right. I don't. You know, like if you're that guilty conscience or that aware of that, what you and the institution you represent does shit so evil that someone has no idea who you are and they're going to poison your food.
Yeah.
You should rethink a couple things. First being, maybe you being control of your food. Second being, what the fuck do you and your institution do on a daily basis that you got to worry about whether or not you can eat safely?
That's true. That's true. You would think like, growing up, like, yeah, I'm not sure about you, but for me, like growing up, like you saw the cops, you're like, oh wow, they're just the police. They got the shiny badge. They dress well. They got a fucking gun. They got the cool car. There was an inherent respect that you looked up to the police. But then as you got older and they started fucking with you, then you realized, hey, they kind of suck.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
We also grew up with the stupid play school sets and Fisher-Price books where, like, the cop was always, like, the corner crossing guard and like smiling and, you know, like just doing good shit. And, you know, they apparently don't always act like that. So,
yeah, always, if at all.
And also, do me a favor, make your fucking TikToks off the clock, bitch.
I think she was, though. I think she was.
Oh,
I think she was,
my bad.
She just finished her shift and she was tired. She had a long shift. She wanted to get breakfast to conclude her shift. And it happened. So.
Oh. All
but right. You're not wrong. I've seen, you know.
I love when you say that. It gives me, makes my monkey move. Go a little pyoing. 6 to midnight. You know what I mean? What's next, monkey butt?
I wanted to tackle the commentary that was taken by Trump at his rally. So I think this would be kind of interesting to talk about. So the term Kung Flu.
Uh-huh.
So this has kind of been something I've wanted to talk about, because as soon as Trump said it, he said, oh, they call it, you know, the Kung Flu, or they call it a bunch of things.
Wait, Trump said Kung Flu?
Yeah, he said Kung Flu. So he called it the Kung Flu, and everybody jumped on it and was like, oh, that is super racist. And the first thing I thought of was like, yeah, you know, because.
Yeah, like, you think he listens to Salsa Nuisance?
Yeah, if you listen to prior episodes.
I said this in March, right?
Yeah, Kung Flu, Wuhan Weezer.
Like our first week of doing this from home, I think I said it.
So this is where I wanted to go with. So Trump said it automatically. It's deemed racist and you can't say Kung Flu. So I'm not totally on board with that. So here's why. Here's the question that I wanted to pose to everybody. Can a humorous play on words be helpful in making light of the situation, or is it just distasteful completely? When is that line crossed?
Okay. Well, this is when the line's crossed. When it's coming from somebody actually racist. You see, when I say something like that, people know I'm fucking being funny.
But are you saying something racist, but not knowing?
Well, I don't think so. I'm okay. So racist to me, again, I always think systemically. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you could say a racist thing. You could speak in, you know, with bigotry. You could speak as a bigot. You could be rude. You could be mean. But I don't think you can say, unless what you're saying is, don't hire that black guy and you're someone in authority.
Right.
That would be a racist statement, right?
Right.
But if I'm just making, first of all, one, things aren't, they don't have a race. Like, this virus doesn't have a race.
Okay.
Okay. So if I'm calling a virus Kung Flu, like, it's not, I'm not being racist. Now, if I'm saying Chinese people started the Kung Flu, that's probably a pretty fucked up comment. And I hope it doesn't get sound clipped out of here and then put somewhere. I gotta start thinking about this shit I say. But anyways, I would never do that. Don't worry, guys. Show's not gonna change. But I think the big difference is one, the audience. There'll never be a Trump speech that comes out without one. Okay, first of all, it's fucking Trump. Can we change Trump's name for the sake of argument?
Sure.
If there was such a polarizing person and his name was Alphabet Soup, there's nothing that Alphabet Soup could say that some outlet wouldn't manipulate. Okay?
Yep.
So I don't have that audience. Our audience is pretty on board with us, or at least expecting that I'm going to be outrageous.
Okay.
I'm not speaking at a presidential rally. I'm trying to entertain people in their, you know, Kia Optima or whatever. But you can't be Alphabet Soup with a history of acting racist, of enacting racist policy, of congratulating, rewarding, or being a proponent of racist groups that not only promote hate, but act on it. So there's all these factors behind Alphabet Soup that when he says something, even if he said it verbatim, his audience is going to activate. They're like the Autobots, and he's going, Autobots, roll out. I'm not activating any type of negative action.
Yeah.
And if I am, I'm doing it unknowingly, which doesn't, that's not an excuse, but I can confidently say nobody's out creating hate crimes based on things that they heard me say.
Yeah. And I think, cause you know, when you said, you know, Kung Flu, Wuhan Weezer, I thought those were funny. Those were funny play on words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you see a lot of comedy, regardless of where it's coming from, you can find some type of ethnic racial comedy based upon their ethnicity, whether it be like George Lopez, Joe Coy, these performers, these entertainers who are proud of their heritage and background, and they utilize that heritage and background to entertain people. Now, I think if you saw a Chinese comedian utilize the term Kung Flu in their set, I think it would have killed.
Yeah.
I think it would have been hilarious because they would know how to deliver that joke and utilize that play on words to their advantage. And that's why I'm not going to say Kung Flu, the term, is a racist thing to say. I think it's, like you said, you know, you have to know your audience. You have to know your intent with using the term. You have to know who's going to take what, how, you know, because of the way that you used it. So in the way that the Alphabet Soup would utilize the term knowingly to hurt people or knowingly to belittle people, putting their ignorance on full display, I think that's wrong. It illustrates you're ignorant.
Well, and check this out. Like, to your point of word and word usage, we can call a rug Oriental. You can no longer call a man Oriental.
Ah, good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm still not sure of why. It's just the person who told me that. I look up to respect him. So I was like, okay.
Cool.
I won't say I know any Oriental people. And yeah, I'm sure I pissed people off by saying that. But hey, look, I learned enough to not do it. Don't need to know why. Not important. Don't inbox me. Don't give a fuck. Won't do it.
And I think that that's what's important too. Is like, you know, if you're putting your ignorance on display and someone corrects you, then you're like, oh shit, like I didn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm sorry. Am I my bad? I'm, you know, it's a funny play on words and that's what it was. But if someone, you know, corrects you or teaches you or explains to you why a term may be hurtful or the way you delivered your message or joke or sentence, statement, opinion as being hurtful, you should, you know, listen to your audience, of course. But I don't think the term itself is racist, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree. And yeah. Cool. Quick question, bro.
Shoot.
I saw this biopic on FX. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln was, he also killed vampiros, bro?
He killed vampiros?
Yeah, the vampires. Did you know Abraham Lincoln? I just thought, I mean, I know, I always thought he was a great man. I thought he did dope things, but I didn't know he also would kill vampiros.
Wasn't this in a movie recently?
Yeah, a biopic. Saw it on FX. I didn't know FX does documentaries now, but they do. And it was pretty rad. Just another reason why I love him.
One more thing I wanted to cover tonight. Going back to our Generation Z counterparts, there was an article recently that caught Gen Z taking shots at millennials.
What?
I know, you and I, we're millennials. Let's hear this, dude. And, let's hear the younger generation, we're talking shit.
Oh my God.
So a Twitter user came across a thread of Gen Z's talking shit and taking shots on TikTok because apparently TikTok is the preferred Gen Z usage social media platform.
Well, because probably not that many millennials are there checking them, right?
Of course not. They won't fucking TikTok.
Yeah, they won't do that at the car show, right?
Bro. So Gen Z users, they criticize millennials for saying words like doggo and adulting, living in one-bedroom apartments, oversharing their Harry Potter houses, and being obsessed with avocado toast. Avocado.
Okay, you know what?
Avocado toast.
I should have asked for the content before I got heated because they're absolutely right for all of those things except the one bedroom apartment. And they have no fucking clue what's coming their way because any of us that have shit, we have it from inheriting it from our parents and we're not leaving shit behind, motherfucker. And rent's only going up. Avocado toast. You got a point. I don't get it. Don't know. I don't even know how you make toast out of avocados. Every time I try to toast my avocado, it just melts to the bottom of the machine. And then my wife has to throw it out. Harry Potter houses. Yeah. Get rid of that shit. Doggo. Don't know what that is. I do say doggy and Brody, but I've noticed that when I say it long enough, all the people around me start saying it too. So that must be pretty fucking rad. adulting. Yeah, it sucks being an adult, and we're just at the age where we're starting to find that shit out. That, like, you know, there's no more summer vacations. You know? We kind of got one this year, but...
I think adulting was a great term to describe that realization.
Yeah.
When you cross that line between being a young adult and an actual adult.
And guess what? We start saying it at 35. You motherfuckers are going to be 55 and adulting.
Because you still live at home.
Yeah. So, oh, no. They had a point. They were right. My bad. Not fuck you.
They also went on to say, all they do is drink wine, post cringy 90s kid memes, talk about tech startups, and lie. Millennials are monsters.
They missed a lot there. They obviously listen to our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't fucking drink wine.
I don't either. I don't know where that... Maybe they don't know anything above Gen Z, that there's other generations. Like, a Gen Xer would probably be drinking wine now, right?
I guess.
Because they're, like, older than us. That would be... Gen X is, like, what, 38 to 48 now?
I think so.
Right? And then what's before that? It didn't go baby boomer and then Gen X, right? There was something there.
No, I think it is baby boomers. Baby boomers weren't the World War II era, the greatest generation.
Yes, those are
the descendants from the greatest.
Yeah, generation. So like the 50s to 60s. So it's got to be something 70s. Oh, that would be Gen X. And then 80s and up is millennial. All right. So yeah, maybe they just think everybody above them is the same thing. Did you ever have that thought? I don't know if I did. There was definitely a generational difference between my grandfather and my father. But maybe we're not as different as our fathers.
Okay,
you know, so for our kids looking up.
If you had to decide a generation. There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, I got
if you. If you had to decide a generation that sucked the most, who was it?
Gen Z.
Gen Z? Firing it back.
Bow! I spit hot fire! Blick up! Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because they're all beautiful for their own things, and the insane social growth and change that's happened since we started labeling generations. What would be a whack ass generation? 1890? I don't know. Like I don't know.
I don't know the 1600s, but whatever generation fell within the Crusades, yeah, y'all suck.
Hey, bro, can I sell you something? Follow me with this.
Okay, right? Go on.
Walk with me.
Yep.
If there was like a stage for us to kind of like roast each other. Or like, you know, just do burns and kind of go back and forth with like, say, Gen Zers. And we argue and we do just like what we're doing. Like they say, you guys eat avocado toast. And I go, you guys don't know the difference between 35 and 45. Or like, you don't know the difference between wine and malt liquor. Or just whatever. Like,
yeah.
Would it not be fucking dope to be on that team, me and you, dude?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
I'm going to make that happen. We're going to find it.
If we can make... Okay, so who's our 1996 NBA All-Star team? Of millennials shit talkers.
Oh. All right.
Eminem's too old, right? Yeah, he's too old.
Well, yeah, he's probably Gen X because we as millennials enjoyed him.
Who's his equivalent now? Or who's a dope ass young comic? Damn, this is harder than I thought. I thought we were gonna spit hot fire. I thought we were just gonna come with it.
Well, I'm thinking like rappers, comedians.
What about people you know, like that?
Just general shit talkers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd
say the homie Julio Hooligan, but I'm pretty sure he's. I mean, that motherfucker's like 5 years older than me. We were friends when we shouldn't have been friends.
I think it's just me and you at this point.
All right, cool. We'll do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Gen Z, get line up. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. If those of you listening out there, if you have a favorite Gen Z podcast, let us know.
I didn't even think of it like that, dude. Let's podcast up on someone.
Oh yeah, we're totally gonna podcast somebody. It's gonna be great.
And then the cool thing is, if they win, we just show up and fuck them up because they're not fighters. We do like the old Twitter beast. Remember when Twitter first came out? It'd be like some guy caught someone in a parking lot and beat the shit out of them.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be.
Sign and then one of us yells "World Star."
World Star. Yeah. That covers all the current events, and now it's time to get deep.
Oh!
So, here's the question.
Yes, sir.
Let's get deep.
Let's get deep.
Do aliens exist?
I'm going deep like Randy Moss. It depends on your definition of an alien. So, I think I've said on the show before what I think aliens are, like the aliens that we see, that we've described, the little green people.
Yeah.
With long fingers, big heads, bright eyes. Yeah, not bright eyes. Yeah. Those are, to me, those are time traveling people from the future.
Ah, yeah. I remember do you remember covering this?
So I'll do it real briefly. Long, weird fingers is for, because they're touchscreens. Touchscreens, boop, 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 boop. We don't really need hands. Slim, skinny bodies is because we got insane machinery that works, you know, kinetically. We don't got to move stuff anymore. Big old dome heads is because the computing of our brains is increasing. Our brains are growing every day. And that's then those eyes is because we're always on screens now. We're not ever out in the sun anymore, you know, which my kids have proven because in all of this, they become fucking nocturnal, dude. So I believe that like that description of aliens is actually just people coming from. And then that's why it's always like some weird thing, because it's not like I think you're not allowed to do it. But it's some kids that got drunk on prom, and then they come back, and they're like, oh, they saw us! And they shoot, right back to the future.
But you know, why are we green? Like that.
Because UV light. Everything's fucking screens and monitors. I did a signage for a remote security company.
Right.
So what they do is they set up a bunch of cameras at security shops, or at like construction sites with motion detectors. And then when it goes off, their screen turns on, and it alerts the camera, like, but these guys, dude, work in rooms where they each have like 15 monitors and it's pitch black and then they got blue lights and that's the best for their eyes to catch what's going on. And that's how they work 24 hours a day. Not one guy 24 hours, but their shifts. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's how we become the, you know.
That's how we become green.
This is the cocoon.
The cocoon of technology.
Yeah, and then the next thing that comes out is not a butterfly. It's one of those things. But as far as aliens, like real outside life aliens, I believe in probability. So I'm sure there's an outside life. But I also know the probability of the amount of elements and the perfect circumstance for a cell to grow. It's absolutely possible that Earth is the only place that created that environment.
Really? So you believe in that probability?
I believe in both probabilities. So the odds are that there is something alive somewhere else.
So you believe in both probabilities, so you're right either way.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
See what I did there?
Either way, I'm right, and I like those odds.
It's 50-50. 50, there's life somewhere else, or 50, it's insane. Life is insanely complex. Okay, so if you want to break it down to like a cellular level, I do believe, yeah, that there's life elsewhere. I don't, for sure, for 100%, I think that there has to be life outside of this universe. There has to be another environment conducive to something growing.
Yeah, I agree. I believe there's some kind of like bacteria growing somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't think
somewhere is growing.
I don't think there's people as we know on any other planet. For sure, in our universe. And, you know, but there's millions of them.
I think there's aliens. I mean, point blank, yeah. Easy answer to that, yes.
Do you think of them as the green people that are described?
I think that, like you said, probability. I think that's one of the probabilities. You know, potentially it could be little green men. It could be just a microbe. It could be us in a different form. It could be, I don't know, three-headed snake. I don't know.
Do you think that they've given up on us?
Wouldn't you after 2020?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on down there?
They get to Earth 2020, like, nah, they're going to take care of themselves. We're out.
I mean, because, like, all right, so, like, progress isn't linear, right? Like, progress doesn't go like a pyramid. And for that example, I'm going to use the pyramids. Like, you can have an insanely successful society. Something happened, they become a wash, and then the next group of idiots walk by, like the Egyptians. I don't know if you know much about Egyptians.
Not really.
They didn't build the fucking pyramids, bro.
No.
They still don't have Wi-Fi.
They got them on Amazon.
They take credit for the pyramids.
Just because they were there, they found them?
Yeah. That's proof positive that success is not linear, you know?
That's true.
So, or did the aliens do the pyramids?
Great question.
It's a lot of heavy lifting for little green people.
A better question is to be or not to be an unwritten law. Okay, so this is what I got it going. It's been a while since I've taken the train, but I'll never forget the one time I was yelled at by a homeless person for putting my feet up on the seat while taking the subway.
Okay.
And I found it just incredibly, hypocritical, because this person had a dog with them.
Okay.
So he's homeless. The dog is homeless. They probably are not the cleanest things on the face of the earth. So between my feet and their entire being, I don't know. It's a toss up between cleanliness on that. But this person like just scolded me. I was just chilling. It was late at night, taking the fucking subway home, and no one else on the train. So I'm just chilling, putting my feet up. And all of a sudden I see like this guy just yelling at me. And I was like, what the hell? And I take out my headphones. He's like, take your fucking feet off. Your feet are disgusting. And I was like, what the hell?
It's like, don't you know I live on this subway?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, yeah. Put your feet up in my house. So I put my feet down. I was like, okay, cool. But here the question is putting your feet up on public transportation, to be or not to be. Cool or not?
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do it. I mean, you just shouldn't, like, there's, you know, etiquette matters, and though there are exceptions for moments, there's always, you're by yourself, like you said, you weren't bothering nobody, the train was empty. It'd be one thing if you had your feet up and there was like someone standing looking for a seat.
Oh, yeah.
It was empty. But I would just say, just for the sake of not having debate when the appropriate moment is for things like that down the line, I would just say, make it a rule across the board that we don't do shit like that.
I will agree with you. And while I was putting my feet up and I thought about it, I was like, okay, yeah. You know, I know, you know, my feet are not like, you know, the dirtiest feet in the world. They had shoes on. But I don't know where everyone else has been, where their feet, shoes, sandals, what have you had been. So I was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to sit down somewhere where they just had like took off their shoes and their socks and their feet are just chilling on the seat. And I sit there later. Yeah. I probably don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Anytime someone tries to tell me what to do though, before I register what they say and what they're asking, but I also try to register, like, why is it that you think you could fuck? This is my crazy ass, dude. This is how out of fucking pocket I am with regular people. Like, how far outside the social contract I live. I'm trying to figure out, why the fuck is it that this person's telling me what to do? Why do you think, I don't give a fuck what authority you think you have. I don't care if he was a subway worker. Like, why do you think you can tell someone you don't know what to do, especially in a violent manner?
That's true.
The violent I base my reaction on wherever my thoughts go with that.
That's fair. I have another example of that too. So I went to a car dealership to get my car checked out for whatever the fuck reason. Not important.
Yeah, gotcha.
As I'm waiting in the showroom, the waiting area, we all have our masks on. Everyone's just chilling. And I had Starbucks coffee in my hand. I removed my mask for a moment. Just for a moment so I can take a sip of my coffee. And as I do, the receptionist turns around and she's like, hey, excuse me, you have to put your mask on at all times while you're inside. And I look at her and I was like, okay. So I put my mask back on and I wanted to argue with her because, bitch, you are just refilling the complimentary coffee and water bottles. How do you expect people inside the waiting space to drink their coffee or water bottles if you're also expecting them to keep their mask on?
Yeah.
You gotta have one or the other, man. And if so, you have to like understand that I'm going to remove my mask for just a moment so I may take a sip of my beverage and then promptly put it back on. But within those milliseconds of taking my mask off, she had to jump in there and just do it with attitude. And I was like, man, you're crazy.
And you know for sure she was the one refilling the coffee and all that, right?
Yeah.
This is my move. You want my move?
Oh, please, indulge.
I apologize. I walk up over to the coffee. I take it. And I look her in the eye and I pour it in the sink. And I just say, hey, dude, you wouldn't want anybody to ruin their mask for half a second to have a sip of this coffee. And then as she's digesting what happened right there, I walk over and start opening the water bottles. Not pouring them out. Just start opening. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just keep going. Opening the fucking hey, look. And then when she goes, what are you doing? I go, how do you expect me to have any of this coffee if I'm not allowed to remove my mask for half a fucking second? Yeah. I think a cup in any proximity of a face is merit. I think that gives you, and more than 5 seconds. What if the coffee's hot? You know what I mean? Like that. That's, you get more than a couple milliseconds. Like if you have a beverage in hand and it's clear that you're in the act of about to enjoy that beverage, like, come on, we're all trying to get used to this. And also, yeah, again, where's your authority?
Yeah, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Just the attitude. Like, I get it. Like, you know, and if she knew who I was, she would know how serious I'm taking all these precautions.
Yeah.
And know that I'm not the person to scold about these things. And I just couldn't believe it, man. I was like, I wanted to just walk up and be like, how do you expect anyone to drink the complimentary coffee you've provided them if they can't take their mask off?
So
and then just walk away. That's what I wanted to do.
My family and I went out of town and we went down to the pool. And my understanding is that the sun is good for fighting the virus. Chlorine water is insanely great for fighting it. And that if you're in a pool and you're socially distanced, you're probably pretty fucking safe.
Yeah.
Now, because there's limited capacities, there was a line to get into said pool. In that line, everybody was socially distanced, okay? Didn't take that long. 10 minutes, we get in. We find a spot around the pool. We all dip our legs in. We're sitting there hanging out. I order food and drinks for the family. Pretty good order, right?
Yep.
My son jumps in. A pool worker comes around and goes, hey, man, just let you know there's a line to get in the pool. I say, yeah, we were in that line. We're here now. He's like, no, unlimited people can have their legs dipped in, but to get in the pool, there's another line. You have to get in the other line. I said, nah, bro. I waited in line to get in the pool. He's like, no, you waited in line to get in the pool area. Now you have to go. And I go, oh, okay. How many people are in the pool? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, so if you don't know that the pool's at capacity right now, don't come over here fucking with me. Second ball, tell my son to get out the pool. And he's like, what? I was like, he's not bothering me. Tell him to get out the pool. And you know, my son's standing there like, oh, fuck, do I get out? Do I get out? He's like, can we talk over here? And I'm like, you can't talk in front of my family? Why, you gonna say some racist shit? You say something fucked up? Why do I gotta go over there to talk? No, we could talk right here. In fact, I'm convinced the safest place is this pool. I don't want to talk to you anywhere outside this pool. And I said, look, dude, you're the fucking idiot who let people in bathing suits into a pool area and didn't count them as swimmers. As long as, if this is an open pool, it's not like the pool was roped off and there was only one entrance.
Right.
The pool was the pool. I was like, if you let people in with swimsuits to a pool area, that's on you. You should count them as swimmers. And also, we walked by you, we walked by your security guard, your towel person, and a lifeguard. None of them said, hey, you guys, just so you know, there's another line to actually get in the water.
That's totally valid, yeah.
So I went off on him, you know? And I was like, you didn't talk to them, you didn't talk to them, you didn't talk to them, you didn't talk to them. Like, get the fuck out of here. But that was one of those places where I digested your authority. You fucking have, this is a terrible setup if you want it to go the way you're suggesting.
Yeah.
I didn't set it up. You did.
Especially if you're on vacation. You're expecting me to, like, to process all these different things.
How would you allow people who are obviously dressed to swim into a pool area and not count them as swimmers? Whether or not they get in is irrelevant.
You were too fashionable. You looked too good in your swimming trunks. Like,
that's given. Imagine. That's a given, bro. Phenomenal. I looked,
you didn't rupture that beard.
But yeah, I was like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, leave. And he's like, you know, you're making this more difficult. I was like, nobody asked you to be here. Go away. It's not difficult. You shut the fuck up and you leave me alone. That's the easiest thing to do. What's difficult, bro? Are they going to fire you because my son jumped in? Then fuck off. Are you going to tell them? You're not going to tell them to get out. You're afraid to talk to anybody. Like, I was going off in front of like 20 people, bro. I was like, you're sitting here stuttering. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Cut your losses. Get the fuck out of here. You pick someone. You pick the wrong one. Go talk to someone else.
You're right. I mean, being experienced in the customer service industry, I totally would just cut my losses and say, okay. You know, sometimes you take an L. That was a clear L. Your system failed. Take the L.
Well, and then I told, like, you guys should have the pool roped off.
Yeah.
And then there's just one entrance and people go, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to obviously can only go in through there. It's just like,
or you explain it as you enter the pool area. The person who's counting people into the pool area should have been the person to say, hey, just a reminder, if you're going into the pool, there's a separate line for the pool.
And then this is the other thing. It's my own guilty conscience, but it has held true as a stereotype, is that people fuck with us because we're the young tattooed family that doesn't look, one, as successful as we are, two, as educated as we are, or three, as well put together as we are. There were families to left and right of us that look like regular upper class white people that did the exact same move. Exact same move. And we're nothing. So I was, you just, you, you, You came to the wrong one. I'm sorry, kid. Like you said, the kid took an L that day, you know?
Good. Should have.
Let it be. We didn't see him the next day. I was looking for him.
That L stood for loss.
Didn't I tell you to rub this fucking pull off yesterday? You do what I tell you!
All right, to wrap up. You got any more you know what's?
Yeah, I got a new you know what. I got one quick one. Real you know what? I figured out I can eat as many tacos as I order. That's not good. Yeah. Like, and it's, you know what? I don't even like Del Taco or Taco Bell, but those two. Like, if I order 10, I can eat 10 of those fucking tacos, dude. I'll order, like, so on Tuesdays, it's Taco Tuesday in our family, and I'll order, like, 16 tacos. And the kids don't eat them. I'll eat 16 fucking tacos, dude. And, like, I won't even hide the evidence. I'll just be like, hey, you guys didn't come out. Sorry. You're nocturnal now. Tacos come out during the day.
Just covered in lettuce and taco sauce. And there you go.
I got another, you know what?
What?
You know what?
What?
Water, or running water, and plastics are fucking important, bro.
True. Remember,
last year we tried abolishing plastic, and we got all the way down to the paper-wrapped plastic straw.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Don't give me a fucking unwrapped paper straw during the time of COVID. Absolutely not. Plastic straws. I can take rubbing alcohol, put it on my plastic straw, give it a second, and then drink my drink. No, there's a reason we got to plastics. It's because it's fucking clean. It's sanitized. It's safe. And it keeps us away from the spread of disease, probably. There's a reason everything's wrapped in plastic. There's a reason everything in hospitals are wrapped in plastic. There is a reason in jail they serve you in plastic.
What about an independently distributed paper straw?
But it can't be shipped in its own big rig or something. Like, how it's going to be bumped up with other pack. Like, okay, what about if they wrap that straw somehow?
Okay, take a walk with me. So you have a big plastic bag. So we're still with plastics.
Okay.
A big plastic bag filled with like 100 paper straws.
Got it.
You empty said paper straws into a paper straw dispenser. One of those little push down things?
Yeah.
Like a kibble bit distributor for the dogs?
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. You hit the little thing and one paper straw pops out. Then the other ones are still, you know, separated.
You know how we got those with plastic straws? Like at diners, you just press it and a plastic straw comes out, but it's unwrapped. Yeah, I don't even fucking like those.
Okay, that was my solution.
I don't even fucking like those. No, I want to open my shit, especially if it goes in my mouth, bro.
Okay, that's fair.
And then the running water thing.
Yeah.
We started this year trying to tell families they can use like 40 gallons of running water a day.
Uh-huh.
But now it's, you know, like clean clothes. Like once you go out, wash that shit, dude. Come home, wash it in hot water, put it with soap because you don't know who was around you or what. Always wash your hands, this and that. Yeah. It's like we had momentum of thousands of years of really smart people building off what the person before them built to get to plastics and running water. And then in one generation to be like, nah, you know what? Let's wipe that shit. I'm not saying we're not on the right path. Like, I get it. We got to do better, care about our environment. But that was January. March 20th, ain't nobody talking about 30 to 40 gallons of family.
That's true.
You know what I mean? There's a reason we get this far. Like, just because we get lax and we get luxury and life gets easy doesn't mean we should destroy thousands of years worth of obviously racism, thousands of years worth of work. Destroy that. It's not all right. But there's a lot to benefit from old ways or old products, you know, I guess. I killed it with that last one. I should have stopped talking. I'm always cute till I open my mouth, bro. Anyways, that's it. Those are my you know what's.
Okay, you know what?
What?
Shout out businesses that have puns as their business names, like Nothing But Cakes or Sushi Nolan or Back to Fuchsia. Indiana Bones, the Temple of Groom. I just want to give a quick shout out to like these businesses that put like, this is your business. It could be whatever you want it to be. You get to name it whatever you want. And they choose a pun.
That is great.
That's just courageous. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out. Like, you know what? I appreciate you.
That is good.
Yeah.
You got any more?
No, one more.
All right.
You know what?
What's that?
Not every counter requires a tip jar. I saw one at a KFC. And I just thought, what the fuck? I ordered, you know, a family pack and a chicken little, and I got it. Why do I got to tip you? Because you did exactly what you're supposed to do, and you're being paid adequately. Whereas people, you know, elsewhere in the food industry or the bartending industry or whatever the fuck, you know, service aspects, they're not on the same page. So I don't understand. So KFC, yeah. You don't need a tip jar. Your local bartender, yes, tip jar.
I agree.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out. It was bugging me. I saw the tip jar. And I was like, what the fuck? Why?
Hey, a quick Father's Day thing. Do you have anything that you remember your old man walking around that is probably pretty singular to your old man saying or doing or behaving? Just shout out to fathers for Father's Day.
I'll never forget that my dad curses on a regular basis. Uh-huh. And he does it so often that he doesn't know he's doing it. It's just part of his vernacular. So one time, me, my sister, and my mom, we were calling him out. We were like, you cuss all the time. He's like, ah, fuck, no, I don't. And we were like, okay, look, we're going to make a bell sound every time you cuss. And he's like, ah, shit, give me that shit. And we were like, ding, ding. It's like, ah. And he just kept going on and on. And he's like, I'm not saying anything. It's like, we just fucking heard it. And I'll never forget that because it was just so, it was so my dad.
And what about you? You got one?
Him. What for me?
Yeah, you got one that your kid's going to grow up remembering like, damn, that was my dad. That was his thing.
I don't know. Probably cussing a lot too, probably.
So mine was my dad used to always walk around the house going, who's got a big old butt? And then whoever was there would be like, Bobby got a big old butt. Like, didn't have a big old butt. So it was just always 10 times a day walking by, who got a big old butt? Like, that's how he walked into a room. Whoever was in the room.
Is that his way? Oh, okay. No, okay. I was going to say, like, is it his way of like telling you to move because you're big ass way?
Nope. Because none of us had big asses.
Oh, that's just his way of announcing him in the room.
I guess so, yeah.
I have a lie.
Mine would be, I think that whenever the kids go, hey, can you call my phone? And I just start yelling, Vincent's phone! Vincent's phone! You know, so I think they're going to always have that of me.
Oh, I'm going to have dad jokes. I mean, if I have to like name something, my dad jokes are spectacular.
Yeah. Mine suck, but no. They're better than the mom jokes in this family. So I got that going for me.
Shots fired. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there's power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.